So the reading this morning is taken from Galatians chapter 3, verse 26 to chapter 4, verse 7. So in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, nor is there male and female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. What I am saying is that as long as an heir is underage, he is no different from a slave, although he owns the whole estate. The heir is subject to guardians and trustees until the time set by his father. So also, when we were underage, we were in slavery under the elemental spiritual forces of the world. But when the set time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive adoption to sonship. Because you are his sons, God sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, the Spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but God's child. And since you are his child, God has made you also an heir. This is the word of God.
Well, friends, let's pray as we come to the word. Heavenly Father, please won't you speak to us today. Allow us to hear your voice. And allow us to be changed. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. One psychologist has written, children who don't experience a home live all of their lives with the fundamental inability of attachment. So what is a home? Home isn't just a place. Home is a relationship, a set of relationships. It's a place where I belong. It's a place where I am accepted. And you know, relationships here in Donegal, it's a great place to be, but they are pretty conditional, aren't they? Donegal relationships can be much more conditional than at home. We'll love you if you're young. We'll love you if you're good looking, if you're rich, if you're successful, if your house is in the right place, if you're slim. But if those things aren't in place, the love may go. And I think that's why, subconsciously, we are so driven, aren't we? We're driven people. People are driven because they know that they've got to win. Because if they don't win, they won't be loved. They won't be wanted. But at home, you are loved anyway. Or at least that's the home that we long for. And that's why in 2 weeks' time, I think Christmas dinner on Christmas Day is so symbolic, because at that time of the year, many, if not all, the shops will be shut, because every employer will know that employees and shoppers should be at home. They should be in a place where they belong, where they're accepted, where they're loved. They shouldn't be out competing, earning, surviving, purchasing. Even Scrooge in A Christmas Carol on Christmas Day says to Bob Cratchit, Tiny Tim's father, do you remember? He says, I guess you'll be wanting Christmas Day off. You see, even Scrooge reckons that he should be at home on Christmas Day. And that's why, do you know, friends, as a Christian minister who's been involved with weddings, funerals, baptisms, with all those kind of defining moments in people's lives, you become acutely aware of the emotional content of Christmas Day. I mean, there are some here who have lost loved ones recently. And Christmas Day is going to be hard for you. It really is. It's going to be so hard. You see, Christmas Day for us and for our families becomes almost a litmus test of where we are relationally. What are you doing on Christmas Day? Well, that's where you are relationally. And it's a litmus test, I think, of our brokenness and our isolation and our battles and our bereavements, as well as a litmus test of our loves and our joys. It really is. And that's why even Letterkenny Chamber of Commerce knows that on Christmas Day, everyone should be at home. And of course, this theme of family on Christmas Day began in Bethlehem 2,000 years ago, where Jesus Christ was born into a human family in which he belonged, in which he was accepted. So he was born into a world that would one day crucify him, yes, but he was born into a family that fled from the murderous clutches of King Herod to protect him. Why? Well, because they loved him, because he belonged there. And so that's the first point that I want to make this morning. At Christmas, God sent his son into a human family. Look at verse 4. Can we just see it there? I mean, this is a letter that's written by Paul in AD 48. We join him in the middle of the letter, and he's talking about the privileges of knowing God. And he writes there in verse 4, "But when the time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman." Now this is historical, and can I say that we are pretty defensive about this as Christians, because partly because Christmas Day is such an emotional and meaningful day, and that is wonderful, but Christmas is historical. It's historical. So I love Santa, I love Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, the shop windows, the lights, but actually it's not the whole story. There's a danger in the manger. There is. And the danger is that we forget that this is historically centered. So this happened in first century Bethlehem. And Luke, the historian, writes of it. Luke chapter 2, verse 1. "In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census would be taken of the entire Roman world." And you can trace that back in history. It happened. And so it goes on in Luke's gospel. So it's historic. So if you had been there in the first century, you would have seen the baby in the manger. But here's the issue. I doubt that you would have taken a second look. You know? I mean, Bethlehem was like the armpit of Israel. It was a terrible place. You wouldn't have taken a second look. I mean, I have a friend whose dad asked his mom to marry him 9 times. Can you believe it? 9 times. They don't make men like that anymore, do they? You know, I mean, nowadays, he'd have been arrested for stalking, I think. Anyway, eventually she said yes. And then 10 days before the wedding, she said no again. Can you believe it? Now at that point in time, to stop him from being committed to an asylum, his best man took him on a trip. And the trip just went up the east coast, so just east of Cape Town, went up the coast there. And on the way, on the trip, this guy sold the wedding ring, the engagement ring, and with a little bit of extra money, he bought a tiny cottage in a little town called Hermanus. And for the 5 years that I was at university, each year, just after exams, we would go, this, our set of friends, we would go and visit Hermanus every holiday time. And as we were driving through to Hermanus 1 year, we passed a family camping in a field. And there was a station wagon, there was a tent, there was a dog, 2 kids, there was a pram and nappies hanging on up on a line in this field. And imagine if you were there with us in that car and I said to you, "Do you realize that the most significant event in the entire history of the human race is taking place in that field, 100 kilometers away from any city or any town?" Well, I think that you would have said, "Well, Dorian, we'd have thought it, but now we really are convinced." No, you wouldn't have. You know, you'd have passed it by. You'd have passed it by. But in Bethlehem, 2,000 years ago, it was the Son of God. Can we see Galatians 4, verse 4? Born of a woman. So God sent his Son. He was there. It's true. He did grow up. He did die. He did rise again. He is in heaven. He is coming back at the end of the age. We will see him eyeball to eyeball. And that is what we are saying, that this is rooted in history and you can check it out. It is real. It is real. Why? Because God sent his Son, born of a woman. It's checkable. Christian faith is a response to information. And then it's trust. And it's information here at the start. It's historically rooted. Where are you on that? Have you checked it out? But here's the question. Is that the point of Christmas? Is that the significance that God sent his son into a human family? So when you see the tree, when you see the lights, when you see the shop windows, do you think that you're meant to think of a baby? That's the question. And I'd just like to thank one of our elders, Tom, for lending me this. It's a prized possession of his. He sleeps with it most nights, does Tom. But thank you, Tom, for lending this to me today. I'll give it back to you for tonight, really. I promise that. But are you meant to think of a baby? You know, friends, you are not. You are not. If you've been thinking that the baby is the center of Christmas, that's not what you are meant to think. Because actually, secondly, Christmas is about being adopted into God's family. So when you see the tree, when you see the lights, when you see Santa, you ultimately to think, I wonder if you've ever stopped to think this. This is about me being adopted into God's family. Have you thought that before? That's what you'd be thinking about. You're not to be thinking about the baby. And do you see how this theme of adoption is in our passage this morning? Verse 4 is just the doorway. Can we see as we look down that when the time had fully come, God sent his son born of a woman. That's the doorway. The baby is, yeah, it's the doorway. But why did the baby come? Verse 5. Do you see it? To redeem those under the law that we might receive the full rights of sons. To be adopted. Verse 6. Because you are sons, God, and daughters as well, really, God sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, the Spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. Verse 7. So you're no longer a slave, but a son. And since you're a son, God has made you also an heir. It's all about being adopted into the family of God. And I guess the next question then is, why do I need to be adopted into the family? And the answer is quite simply, because I don't naturally belong in God's family. You can't be adopted into a family which is your natural family. You can't get out of it to kind of get back into it. You can only be adopted into a family that is not yours by birth. Now, to be adopted into the family of God means that I am not in that family by birth. I'm not, therefore, can I say, born a child of God. I grew up in a Christian home, and I think that I thought that I was born into the family of God. And it was a great shock to me to hear that actually I was born an enemy of God. That's what the Bible says. We're his enemies. So why? That's the question. Why am I not naturally in the family of God? Well, it's because, very politely, I push God aside. I push him aside. And I've taken central place. And I shift him out for all intents and purposes. He disappears. And that's the issue. He just kind of disappears in our minds. He disappears in my mind. But that's not the worst of it, because I then step into the center and I become God. That's what happens. And friends, it may seem like a small thing. For me, I just drifted into it. I can't even remember the decision. I just drifted into saying, Dorian, you are central. You are God. Everything comes from you. And of course, friends, what I'm talking about here is sin. Except people get all kind of edgy when you start talking about sin. But that's what I'm talking about. What I'm saying is that God is not first in your life. And God is not first in my life. I don't think that for 5 minutes I've ever loved God with heart, soul, mind, and strength. I don't think I've done it for 5 minutes. Never have. And that's all I need to do to disqualify me from the family of God. We don't naturally let God rule our lives. We really don't. And that's why at Christmas, friends, I need to be adopted back into God's family. Friends, it was a member of my family who said about his being adopted as a baby, He said this. He said, I don't know who my biological parents are. He said, from the word go, I had no parents and some people adopted me. And he said, their love changed me. He said, they put their arms around me, they educated me, they poured love into me, they fed me. He said, that love changed me. And I'm saying, friends, God runs the biggest adoption agency in the world. A while back, I was playing golf, and one of the guys that I was playing with lost his car keys on the golf course. And so there he had to go and look for them. He had to go and try and find his golf, his car keys. And I had to wait a little bit while he went to look for them. And I was waiting there in the clubhouse with a couple of older guys and just the steward on duty. And these guys were really wealthy men, all of them. You know, one had sold off a large advertising agency. The other had been involved in the development of kind of these big housing estates. And so they were very, very wealthy men. But as I sat with them, waiting for my friend, all I could long for was that they understood what it meant to be adopted. One of them was verging on dementia. The other's body was just breaking into pieces. And I just sat there thinking, if only they understood the wonder of being adopted into God's family. If only they understood that. You know, of knowing prayer, of knowing the wonder of eternity, of knowing, can we see verse 6? Can we see? Because you are sons, God sent His Spirit the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, the Spirit who calls out, Abba, Father, that you can pray. You know, that you can know that there's eternity. That you can know that there's a new destiny with a new mind and a new body, and it is all guaranteed by the resurrection of Jesus. And you know why I longed for those guys to know that? I longed for them to know that, dear friends, because I'll be asked to take the funerals of guys like that, and they don't know this truth yet. And my question is, do you know this truth? Do you know it? The wonder of this adoption. Well, how does it happen? Let me finish now. How does it happen? How do we come to know this intimacy, this destiny with God, this wonder? How do we find it? Can we see? Start of verse 5. This is how it happens. Well, I'll go from verse 4. But when the time had fully come, God sent His Son, born of a woman, born under law. Why did He send Him? Why did God send His Son into the world? Do you see verse 5? Here's the why. To redeem those under law, that we might receive the full rights of sons. What does redeem mean? What does redemption mean? It means to be bought out of slavery. It refers to the price paid to free a slave, to free a prisoner. Once that price is paid, the slave, the prisoner, can start a new life again. And as the Lord Jesus was born, over the crib were the words, born to die. So the angel Gabriel said to Joseph, his father, in a dream, you'd have given the name Jesus because he'll save his people from their sins. As the baby was born, he came to secure my adoption by paying the price for my wrongdoing. So friends, as we give each other gifts at this Christmas time, as we give these gifts away, what are we to be thinking of? Well, as I give the gift, what I'm to be thinking of is that actually the real gift is the price paid at the cross for my redemption, for my adoption. That's the real gift of Christmas. Now, I don't know how Christmas is going to be this year. For some people, I guess it's going to be really tough, really hard. You're going to be sitting there Christmas Day, Boxing Day, although I believe here it's called St. Stephen's Day, here, and you're going to say, you know, I'd hope that it would be better this year, but it's not. And it's a sad place to be, and it isn't tidings of great joy. And can I ask you this, friends, that at that moment, and as it comes, and I hope it doesn't, but as it does, but if it does, can I ask you to say, but the amazing thing is that at Christmas, I have been adopted into a new family, the family of God. And the price paid was incomprehensible as Christ went to die. And that, friends, is the wonder of Christmas. It's not about the baby. It's about me and you being adopted into a new family through the cross. And my question is, have you got that? Do you understand it? Christmas is a time for giving, and I'm going to offer you this gift this morning. It's a little booklet called I Have Come That They May Have Life and Have It to the Full. They're the words of Jesus. And all you've got to do is you've got to come and get it from me afterwards. I'd love to give it to you for free. There we go. It's all about the Jesus of Christmas, who he is, why he came. It'll really be a helpful read. But it finishes off with a little section called Receiving the Gift. Receiving the Gift. Which will tell you all about being adopted into God's family. You know, if you get it, if you understand it, this will be the best Christmas that you have ever had. Whatever the circumstances, you can go, I have been adopted into the family of the living God. And that is good news of great joy. It really is. Let's pray together. Father God, thank you for sending Jesus into a human family. And thank you that because of Jesus, we can be adopted into your family for all eternity. May we turn to Jesus and put our trust in him so that this Christmas, and indeed life, will be the best ever. Amen. Amen.